Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, I want you to think back to a day where you woke up with absolutely nothing on the agenda. My apologies to parents out there with children under the age of five. You don't even have 5 minutes with nothing on the agenda, do you? Bear with me. But waking up with nothing on the agenda feels great. To be able to relax, to be able to chill, to be able to unwind. But have you noticed how that unwind time can rapidly deteriorate into blah time? Like even our chill time, even our unwind time needs a bit of a purpose, whether it's to go for a swim, go for a walk, do a bit of gardening, engage in a hobby, do some fishing. Fishing's not a hobby, fishing's serious. Like even our unwind time needs a purpose. We are hardwired for purpose. Now, bearing that in mind, have you ever thought about what is the purpose of church? Now, on the one hand, it's simple. I mean, Norm's just been praying through it, isn't it? Our purpose as a church is to glorify God, absolutely. On the other hand, purpose of church is complicated. Have you read this? God has a lot to say about what his church is supposed to do. Now, the first response is spot on. We are made by God for God. Right now, you and I have breath in our lungs in order to glorify and praise God. The purpose of church is that simple. That's why our three-week series on the point, the who, the what, and the how of the point, it began with our big why of existence. Why do we have breath in our lungs is actually a who. The glory of God, the God Almighty, our Creator, our Redeemer. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. That was last week. That's our vision. That's what we see ourselves doing for the rest of our lives. But what's our mission? What do we actually do? What does it concretely look like? You see, if we only have our vision, we're like that basketball team that has a coach and all the coach says is, go win. Our vision is to win, so go win. That's what we want you to do. Now, yep, don't get caught doing any fouls. Probably better yet, don't do any fouls. Don't get caught doing any fouls. Have some fun. Win. That's our vision. That sort of describes every under 10 basketball team on the planet right now, just chasing the ball all around, hoping that they're going to get more goals in than the other team. Is that what we're doing as a church? Go glorify God. So we're all chasing the glory of God, we're all promoting the glory of God, but with what sort of purpose, with what sort of direction? Fortunately, Jesus gives us some clarity regarding what we are to do as a church. And so that's our sermon this week, the what of the point. What is it that we're to do? And Jesus told us, again, Norm and I didn't tee this up. It was right through his prayer. Make disciples. Jesus has told us with crystal clear clarity, make disciples. That's our mission. We join him on that mission. And so this week, we are going to look at Jesus' command to make disciples. We're also going to look at, therefore, what does a healthy disciple look like? And so if you're taking notes right now, the three headings are make disciples, five purposes, and look at that third one. Isn't that awesome? Interdependent ecosystem. That's just to keep you engaged. You want to get there to the end. Okay, so firstly, make disciples. Let's read Matthew 28 again. Here's one of my favorite parts of the Bible. Matthew 28, Jesus died on the cross. He's been raised to life again. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. Thank God for Charity Bancroft and that hymn that we sing, "Before the Throne of God Above." We have a strong and perfect plea. All our sin was put on Jesus and he has died. God has punished Jesus for all our sin. And so Jesus has defeated sin and he has burst forth from the grave. He has defeated death. All authority has been given to Jesus over heaven and earth. He has defeated our greatest enemies. All authority is Jesus' Christ. Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the one God who is three persons. It's not just randomly make some vague disciples. No, go make disciples of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe a little bit of what I shared with you. No, all that I have commanded you. And behold, oh, what a great promise is this. I am with you always to the end of the age. What a passage. Christians often call it the Great Commission. Jesus commissions us on his mission. It's that mission that began way back in Genesis chapter 12, where God grabbed Abraham, said he's going to bless all the nations through Abraham. It's the same mission. Jesus now commissions you and I on his mission. And what Christian doesn't want to be on mission with Jesus? All authority has been given to him. All authority. Heaven and earth is Jesus Christ. Now, I recognize we live in an age where authority and power is seen with a whole heap of skepticism. And I get that. I mean, look at Hitler. Look at Putin. Look at Xi Jinping. We could look more internally. Look at Australia, the Royal Commission into churches. Look at the rise of domestic violence. We live in a current age where power and authority is seen with a whole lot of skepticism. As the old adage goes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Except with God. Except with God. God is all powerful. I mean, God is the one who created a universe just by speaking. God is all-powerful. And he is all good. He's affirming it. He's blowing stuff over as I say that. All right. Eyes back to me. It's just the wind blowing through a little tunnel, knocking some things over. All-powerful. And all good. All-powerful. All good. Absolutely powerful, absolutely good. And so this Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, says, all authority is now mine. Go make disciples. We say, well, what the heck else would I do with my life? I'm in. Yeah? And the mission is crystal clear. Make disciples. So, why does the points mission statement say, make disciples who make disciples? Why don't we just say, make disciples? And there's two answers to that. Hang in there, it's just wind, remember, it's just wind. So why do we say, make disciples who make disciples? It seems a little bit redundant. Firstly, remember one of the things Jesus actually said in this very commissioning is, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And one of the things Jesus commanded is make disciples. So even Jesus himself is circular. A disciple is going to make disciples. But secondly, the reason why we're deliberate, some might say redundant in our mission sentence, is what we do is make disciples who make disciples, is the temptation you and I, we always have it. It's to simply attend. It's to simply spectate. Remember the cruise ship versus the rescue illustration from last week? You know, we're constantly tempted to retreat to comfort. But Jesus calls us to take up our cross, to love our neighbor, to do the good work of a soldier, the dedicated work of an athlete, the hard work of a farmer. Jesus equips an army, not a choose-your-own-adventure party on a cruise ship. And so our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. Therefore, if that's true, and here's where we move to the second point, five purposes, we should be pretty clear on what a disciple actually is. If I was to ask you, okay, write down what is a disciple, I reckon some of you would go, simple, that's easy, a follower of Jesus. Fantastic. Now, some of you would say, okay, give me a couple of pads of paper and a few pens, because have you read this? Jesus has a whole lot to say about what a disciple is. And both extremes are actually helpful, but we shouldn't sit on either extreme. And so it's particularly helpful to know that a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, somebody who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. But there are lots of people and there are lots of churches that say they follow Jesus, and yet when Jesus returns, he will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." And so we need a little more clarity on what is a follower of Jesus. What is a disciple? But before we do, a little time out, let me be super clear. A disciple is not perfect. A disciple is not perfect. We don't disciple one another. We don't grow as a disciple to try and earn our salvation. It's important to keep remembering this as we think about what a healthy disciple is. The path to discipleship is progress, not perfection. But it's progress in a very specific direction. I love Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 on this point. Galatians 4, verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That is a beautiful picture of discipleship. The Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians, calling them my little children. I am in anguish. The anguish of a woman in labor. No bloke would ever speak that publicly in the 21st century. He got away with it way back then, didn't he? That sort of anguish. I'm in anguish. For what? To see Christ formed in you. This is where we get the language of spiritual formation about discipleship. What is discipleship? Spiritual formation. What is spiritual formation? Growing in Christ likeness. Christ formed in you. Now, why did I pause and say that little bit? Because when many of us see the Bible's picture of a disciple, we start to feel guilty. I don't measure up. I feel it often. It's progress, not perfection. It's Christ forming in us. It's a directional pathway. Now, last week, I said that we've made some tweaks to how we talk about our mission around church. And so I'm about to tell you some of the biggies. For years, our mission has been to make disciples who make disciples. And up until now, when we've talked about our progress, we've talked about four values: treasure, grow, promote, and belong. But from now on, the language of values is gone, and the language of purposes, and five purposes, is what we're going to start talking about. It's been suggested to me over the years that values can tend to be a little vague. And we don't want to be vague. We want to be purposeful in what we're doing as we go about and make disciples. Now, you heard the other change, haven't you? We've gone from four to five. And You can see there's been a name change as well. Promote has gone to save. Now, treasure, save, belong, grow, serve. Just before I speak to each purpose, here's why I think these tweaks, these changes are actually really, really important. On the one hand, we want to keep church simple. What we do is simple. Make disciples who make disciples. But we also want to make sure our progress is in the right direction. We want to be purposeful about treasuring Jesus. We want to be purposeful about seeing people saved by Jesus. We want to be purposeful about belonging to Jesus' church. We want to be purposeful about growing in the love and knowledge of God through His Word. We want to be purposeful about our serving Jesus and people. Each purpose area could do with a sermon, but I'm just going to do a quick highlight reel. Firstly, treasuring, our purpose of treasure. Matthew 6, 21. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God loved that one as well. Okay. Wouldn't it be good to have a mission campus that we could have a little more control over things with and air conditioning on a hot day? Back to the sermon. Treasure. Matthew 6, 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We know this, don't we? God alone is worthy of our heart, of our soul, heart, mind, and strength. God alone is worthy of our everything. But you and I often will worship at the smaller treasures of our reputation, what other people think of us, of a career, of money, of security. We need to help each other treasure Jesus above all other treasures. That parable that Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 13, that the kingdom of heaven is like a person who goes out into a field and finds a treasure, goes home, sells everything he has with joy to buy that field. One of our purposes is treasure. The other one is save. Now, this is a big change, isn't it? From promote to save. Why? Well, firstly, before the why, if we changed it, is it even biblical? That was my first reaction as we thought about it. Is it even biblical to call you and me to a purpose of save? Isn't Jesus the only Savior? Doesn't God only save? Well, yes. But do you remember? Matthew 28. Jesus has commissioned us on His mission. The only way we can make disciples is if they're saved. And so we're on Jesus' mission with Him. But there's verses as well that are crystal clear on it. It's okay for us to have a purpose called save. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, we're told, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." Okay, so it's biblical for us to have a purpose called save. But why change? To put the wind up us. Now, that was actually in my notes. It had nothing to do with this wind. To remind ourselves that heaven is more glorious than we could ever imagine. And it's forever. And hell is more nightmarish than we ever want to think about. And it's forever. We must implore people to be saved. Our conversations with our friends and our family, our neighbours and our workmates must be to see them over the line. You know, the Spurgeon quote that we just love to use, "If sinners will be damned, let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. And if hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. Save. Treasure, save, belong. Jesus expects his disciples to belong to a local church. Jesus expects his disciples to belong to a local church. A lone Christian is not a healthy Christian. And I'm not going to go to any particular verse for this purpose. Belonging to church, it's the vibe of the New Testament. If we were living back in the 80s and 90s, wherever it was, and the castle was famous, it's the marbo of the Christian church. Belonging, being part of a local church. A couple of metaphors. The body metaphor. The church is described as Jesus' body. We're knit together. We need each other. The local church is the bride of Christ. Who would want to diss the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then what about Jesus' teaching on discipline? This is our favourite one for why you should go to church. Discipline. Remember when Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins against you, go tell them. And if they repent, awesome. But if they don't, take another sister or brother with you. And if they repent, awesome. And if they don't, take it to the church. How can we be obedient to Jesus on discipline if we're not part of a local church? And then what about all the teaching in the New Testament on leadership? How can we submit to leadership if we're not part of a local church? And so, we want one of our purposes of church to be belong. We want to grow healthy, vibrant, committed, accountable, intimate. Belonging. Little aside, I've got to be careful of time. I've got a lot to go. Let's bring intimacy as a good word again. We need to be intimate with one another. A society that is so fractured, the world will know us by our love. Okay. Grow is one of our five purposes as well. No, don't put your hand up, but I'm going to say, hands up if you believe you are fully mature. If you think when it comes to Christ-likeness, you have arrived. We all need to grow. It's just so obvious. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be growing. Two of our point groups are called Prime Point. Therefore, our oldest saints. You know what I mean by older, don't you? They're for some of our oldies around church. When I go and visit Prime Point, I say, why do you call yourselves Prime Point? Shouldn't it be End Point? Yeah, always gets a laugh. What's my point? It's a deadly serious one, actually. Whenever I talk to our Prime Pointers, these are the older saints, the ones who have walked with Jesus for a long, long time, the ones I look up to, the ones I admire, the ones I learn from. And when I ask them, they all say they are still growing. Grow must be one of our purposes. And then finally, this new one that we've raised up, purpose of serve. Now, it's not new as in we've never promoted it. We love to see people serving around church and equipping and releasing the saints for their works of ministry, but we're pulling it up, making it really clear. Serve is one of our purposes. And this one's just easy, isn't it? Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Wow. So of course you and I are called to serve. So why haven't we sort of declared it even when we were talking about values? I thought about it. I'm not sure. I think it had probably something to do with size. When we were smaller, It was just obvious that everyone had to be equipped and mobilized and sent out to be doing their works of ministry. But as we've grown, it's sort of tempting to join us and think, wow, this church is all sorted. They don't need any help. They don't need my gifts. No. We're a body. Every single Christian is gifted for the growing of the church. And so we want to be more deliberate in saying that loud and clear. We want to do a better job of equipping and mobilizing all disciples for Jesus's mission. Okay, treasure, save, belong, grow, serve are our five purposes. They're all purposely chosen to help us together progress in Christ-likeness, seeing Jesus formed within us. Now, have you ever seen a gym junkie that's done just upper body weights? The internet meme is usually a young bloke, big guns, big shoulders, you know, this whole triangle thing, huge, and pencil-thin legs. As we grow healthy, God-magnifying disciples, we don't get to choose, pick and choose which purpose areas we'll focus on and which one we'll just be weak on. We want to grow five purpose healthy. That's why we talk about our interdependent ecosystem. We need them all together, our treasure, save, serve, belong, grow, all working together. And so that's why in our ministries, we actually think about where each one belongs. Under treasure, our Sunday teams helping us treasure together. At life teams with Phil and the teams around him helping us save people together. Our grow of small point groups. Our belonging, our community, our connecting and our care are all growing there. Our pastors are looking over purpose areas. Phil as our treasure and save pastor. We're still getting used to calling Phil a save pastor. Okay. John, welcome back with Logan, birth of fourth child, very exciting. I mean, he's not back at work yet. He just loves to belong to church. He's still on a break, so take it easy on him this morning, but go say hello to Logan and Ali. Good to see you guys here. He looks after our grow and belong areas, and I help him with serve. We're going to talk about Dale next week with our next gen focus. We want to be five purpose healthy as a church, you and I, and as a church. Okay, here I am wrapping up. Earlier I said some of you, some of us, feel guilty when we think about all of this. I don't treasure Jesus the way I should treasure Jesus. I'm not out there saving people in the way with that urgency that Spurgeon talks about, and so on for all the purposes. So let me finish by reminding us all, it's okay to not be okay. We want to be that church where we are always saying to each other, it's okay to not be okay. Now we want to help you where you're not okay because we're progressing in a direction of Christ-likeness. It's progress, not perfection. And so it's okay not to be okay. I daily confess my sin. I regularly confess my sin with my family. Check with my point group. I'm not sure how regularly I confess my sin with my point group. It's okay not to be okay, but we are progressing. And it's in a direction of Christ-likeness, and it is covered all with grace, 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 grace. But let not that message of grace make us forget about the urgency of growing a healthy ecosystem. I call it a geranium. I've flipped it a little bit just to get three G's. Bear with me for a second. If we're a healthy ecosystem, we need to be for each other. But God has also put us in the garden of the Hastings. 85,000 people who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just the Hastings, it's the globe. How many out of the 7 billion people do not know Jesus yet? There is an urgency to what we must do. And so Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, share in the sufferings of a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. We have a mission. We have five purposes. We want to be the faithful soldier, the disciplined athlete, the hard-working farmer, as we go and make disciples who make disciples. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you have never stopped from your mission. From Genesis right through to Revelation, you have been on your mission to seek and save the lost. Thank you that you have saved us. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who is not yet saved, would today be the day that they hand their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, Father, would you use us? Would we encourage each other to be on mission with the Lord Jesus Christ, to make disciples who make disciples for your glory and our joy? Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.